From ransomware attacks to supply chain compromises, the Cyber Talks podcast will dive into the world of the latest cyber threats and attacks impacting businesses globally. Join us as we speak with industry leaders and practitioners about the cyber risks impacting their business and how they're addressing these challenges. Cyber Talks is presented by eSentire, the authority in managed detection and response. To learn how eSentire can help your team reduce your cyber risk and build a more resilient security operation, visit eSentire.com. I'm one of your hosts, Erin McLean, Chief Marketing Officer at eSentire. Welcome to a very special International Women's Day edition of Cyber Talks. I'm Erin McLean. I'm the Chief Marketing Officer here at eSentire, and I am joined by two rock star, phenomenal, I don't even know how many more adjectives I can throw at you. Rockstar, phenomenal, boss babes, badasses, just incredible women that I respect and admire so much. So thank you both for making the time to be here. We've got Tia Hopkins, our Chief Cyber Resilience Officer here at eSentire, and Andrea Markstrom, CIO and just incredible female cybersecurity leader that I'm just thrilled to have you both here. So thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So I actually am doing a little bit of research coming into to this opportunity. I was actually shocked to learn that International Women's Day dates back to 1911. And so it's an annual recognition. It's continued to be something that isn't just, you know, a day, obviously. It's recognizing now, of course, Women's History Month. And I think why I wanted to have both of you on here is because you embody and inspire different communities, different teams every single day, 365 days a year. And as we thought about bringing this opportunity to Cyber Talks, I thought, like, we can't just do something that makes it feel like it's a one day moment and we're going to high five each other and move on with our lives. What I really wanted to do was have you both share a little bit about your experiences, about how you give back, about how you inspire others, because my hope is that we can all take a page out of your books and learn a little bit more about what we can put into practice very tangibly day in and day out. So no pressure. That's what I'm expecting today. If you guys could deliver on that, that would be great. But first, let's let our listeners in a little bit on why you're both so amazing. So Tia, I'm going to ask you to start and just give us a little bit of background. Tell people a little bit about who you are and what you do here at eSentire.
Sure. So yeah, Tia Hopkins, Chief Cyber Resilience Officer at eSentire. I've had a bit of a wild journey at eSentire, but currently I own our cyber resilience strategy and lead our practices within the exposure management offering. So things like vulnerability management, CISO advisory services, phishing security awareness training. I've been in the IT and security industry for about 25 years. And when I'm not geeking out on something in tech, I'm coaching football, educating the minds of the future as an adjunct professor, and curating content for LinkedIn and writing books.
Just a few things in your spare time. Just a few. Andrea, do you mind sharing a little bit about yourself?
First of all, again, Erin, thank you for inviting me to join you today. You both are amazing women, and I'm so grateful to be here. So thank you. Let's see, Andrea Markstrom, the Schulte's Chief Information Officer, and have been leading technology organizations for about 30 years, both inside the large corporate retailer called Target, and then in the legal vertical for the last 18 years, and have just been really blessed and so grateful for amazing people along my entire journey. Never in my wildest dreams did I ever think I'd be leading a technology organization for a law firm if you would have asked me that 30 years ago. But it's all really, I'm lucky to have amazing teams along the way and amazing mentors and people that I I call my tribe. And speaking of that, outside of being the CIO for Schulte, I'm also founder of an organization called I Will, which stands for Inspiring Women, Igniting Leadership and Learning. And that is what it's all about. It's all about finding your tribe to help you, to help, you know, all of us rise and succeed in our careers. And be that giving back to communities, to helping women launch their businesses, from our pitch competitions that we provide grant funding, to helping young professionals that are just starting out and giving them the encouragement and the confidence to succeed. And it's everything that we can do to help each other rise and succeed every day. So I'm super passionate about that. And outside of that, three kids that keep me really busy. And that's my life.
It's amazing. Well, we are going to touch on a few of those things. And I have it on good authority. There's going to be no Zoom bombing or any kind of video in the background today, so we're all in good shape from a kid perspective. Andrea, let's start with you. And you made the comment that, you know, if you were to talk to your younger self, you would never say, I think you're going to be the CIO of a law firm. And so I know my LinkedIn snooping has told me you have a background in political affairs. You obviously have worked in some large retail environments. You worked in legal environments. Tell us a bit about going from being, you know, the university student studying politics to transitioning into what is a very technical role. How does that happen? Give us a little bit of the history there and the transition into cyber.
So, yes, at one point in time, there were two very different careers that I thought I was going to go down. One was I always thought I wanted to work for the UN as part of international relations. And then the other one was being a professional dancer with a modern dance company. So either we didn't land there. And how we landed here.
It's not the answer. Yeah.
I'll tell you how it all started was somebody took a chance on me. And, I went to the University of Minnesota, and they have a wonderful internship program there to help students just break into Fortune 100 companies. And my internship started at Target, and I was aligned under the communications department running their United Way campaign. That was my internship. And the one thing that I'm really happy I did was take a risk and a chance while I was an intern to meet as many people as I can. And then also the other thing was, when you are given a job description and the last line item is other duties as assigned, that is probably the most important line item on your job description, because it is taking all of those random volunteer opportunities, those random, hey, could you just do this? I know this isn't part of your job, but could you just do this? Those are the things that helped me, like by taking those on, helped me propel my entire career. And that's how I landed in technology. At the time, communications, and 3,000 years ago, when video conferencing just entered the technology spectrum or the technology scene, somebody asked me, hey, could you just put together a video conference meeting? I had no idea what that was. No idea how to tie, you know, the networks behind the scenes together. But I said yes, and I took time to learn, even though I was running this United Way campaign. But it's those extra things over and above what you do every single day that, and it's the continuous learning that just, long story short, that video conference piece turned into a point where we were running video conference for all of Target and transitioned into the technology area. And from there, that's where my technology career just kind of took off. It would not have happened if I didn't take on those random, hey, could you just? The other thing too, Aaron, you mentioned what would I say to my younger self right now? I was really happy that I took a risk and met with people during my internship, because those people, even to this day, are still part of my life professionally. And it is taking a risk to say, you know, hey, what do you do? I just want to do an informational interview with you to find out what you like about your job. What, you know, what are things that you did to get to your role? Those are all informing. But the one thing I wish I would have figured out how to do earlier in my career is ask for help. So the one thing that I thought, being young and growing my career in the technology space, especially as a sometimes the only woman in the room, you feel like you have to pound your fist or be like your male colleagues. And that is so not the case. But it took me a while to figure that out, to figure out to be my authentic true self and how I lead people and how I just respond and respect people. But then also knowing that I don't have all the answers and that's okay, and asking for help. I figured that out later in my career, and I wish I would have realized that earlier, because I think that would have served me better.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I want to take that so many places. You gave us so much to unpack there. Oh my gosh. First off, thank you for sharing that. I actually recorded a podcast last week, and one of the questions they asked me was, what is your greatest failure? And I started it out with a conversation about the Olympics and being, and what they thought was going to be my biggest accomplishment. But the reason that it was a failure is because I was struggling during that experience and I didn't ask for help. And so when you said that, it just cued me into how many people probably feel that way. And when you're early in your career, whether whatever it is, sport or just personal, or obviously in our setting right now, professional, you're trying to impress and you're trying to just like keep faking it till you make it, keep pushing forward, just keep going. And you don't put your hand up and ask. And there's so many people that are willing to share their experiences and like everything you just said, the things I would do differently. But sometimes it's just simple and it's not a weakness. It's just a, hey, I could use clarification, some context, or just a little help.
And I think it's true that, and this is what I felt like, if I asked for help, that is a sign of weakness. Or God forbid, you know, like I had a really bad day, but in talking about that, that could be meaning I'm vulnerable. That's a sign of weakness. And that is so, such a myth in so many ways. And so.
Yeah. Tia, do you want to chime in before I start peppering you with questions? Because yeah, I think you,
you know, I think I may have escaped one on that, just from coming from a football background. You know, there's 11 of you on the field, and, you know, with my primary position and all the years I played being offensive line, you have to ask for help. You know, you get really okay with asking for help quickly. If there's someone in front of you that you just know you can't handle, you have to choose the name on the front of your jersey versus the name on the back and say, hey, our quarterback's going down. If we don't pick that up, I need you to lean in. And I've carried that mentality with me into corporate. It is a bit challenging because you have to learn who your team is, right? You know, sports, you're all wearing the same jersey, you're on the same team, you're all out for the same mission. But sometimes you have to navigate those waters in corporate with ulterior motives and things like that. But, you know, once I land on who my team is and who my allies are, yeah, asking for help, I just it's just been something I think that was just built into me from sports.
Mm-hmm. I like that. And so you also mentioned, Tia, you've had a pretty incredible experience, not only in your career as a whole, but once you kind of pick the path of cybersecurity and of owning risk and of continuing to learn in this, there is no stopping you. So when I think back, and for anyone who doesn't know Tia, there is no stopping. It's like constant forward momentum, Tia. It's just like just going. You started your career as a solution architect at eSentire. And, you know, during your tenure here, have taken on various teams, various roles. You're currently leading an entire services portfolio and P&L. You've established cyber resilience and cyber risk as not only core to our business strategy, but just good fundamental cybersecurity principles that are continuing to take over the industry. I still like to say we were saying it first before it showed up everywhere at RSA. It might have even been out there before Gartner presentation. Just saying, we briefed them. Just saying. We did have shirts, and actually, I think you might be wearing one of them, Tia. Resilient as F, maybe. She might be. Just, you know, shameless plug. Just had to have the Superman moment. But, and it's not the question I prepped you for, so I'm just going to ask it anyway because you're good on your feet. How have you navigated so many changes from being an individual contributor to continuing to have your personal growth in this business? Like, it's hard when you're seeing one way. How have you made sure that you were never pigeonholed during any one opportunity that you've had in this company?
That's a good question. My personal strategy is, one, I challenge myself and my own beliefs every day to make sure I'm not getting too wrapped around, Tia's sauce or whatever that may be. But I think also when I'm asked to do something by the business, I make sure I really understand what that is and I'm doing that well before I then go off and do other things. But I do, I think, put a lot into building relationships across the business. I'm not that person that will ever say, that's not my job. I'm actually interested in all the things and how can I make our teams work better together. And if I understand other areas of the business, then I make better decisions versus making decisions in my own silo that solve my own problems, but maybe make it harder for someone else. And so I think, Andrea touched on this a bit too, the networking and getting to know as many people as possible. That relationship building piece is key. One, because it does help you understand the business better and make better decisions. But two, it gets people saying your name when you're not in the room. And it gets people interested in your perspective because it is, I think it's, I do think it's a bit of an anomaly to find folks that are interested in understanding everything. You know, a lot of people come to work and they got their head down and they got to do what they got to do. But I want to understand it all. And I do think that relentless curiosity of mine is what's contributed to my success, because when I have a thought or an idea, it's not just, well, we should do that differently. It's also, and here's how I'm thinking about it. And it encompasses the entire business. And so it gets us, to use a football analogy, closer to the end zone instead of being backed up in our own territory when we're trying to figure out how we're going to solve a problem.
Yeah. I do think relentless curiosity like describes you perfectly. But you make a really good point. It's not complaining when you come with a solution. You're part of the solution when you bring forward an idea, when you bring forward perspective. And kind of open to both of you, how is that? My assumption is it's that much harder for people to make those inroads and relationships now when we're in hybrid environments, when some of the leadership is not necessarily in the office every single day. How have you seen people make an impression or kind of influence you just with their presence in this new kind of hybrid situation that we're all dealing with?
Yeah, I can talk a little bit about that. I might wander here for a moment. For people that influence me, I'm a big LinkedIn person. And I think it's like probably the best tool from a relationship and frankly, strengthening and moving your career forward. I think it's a great tool for that. But I follow a lot of people on LinkedIn, and I follow, you know, thought leaders in cyber and in IT and now Gen AI and all of that. But I also follow thought leaders and inspiring people that are doing just amazing things in this world. And an example, one woman, her name is Genevieve Paturo. She was in big corporate. She left to find Pajama Program, which helps provide pajamas to all of those children that have no idea even what pajamas are. And so I've followed her for a couple of years on LinkedIn, and she's just doing amazing things around this entire world. And I just said, you know what, I'm going to take a risk. I'm just going to send her a LinkedIn message and say, I would just love to meet you sometime. And I'll fast forward. She's now presented a couple of times at our I Will events, and she's such an inspiration. So I think regardless if you're in person, if you're hybrid or fully remote, find those people that light a spark under you, both in career and in life, and just take a risk and ask to meet them. What's the saying? If you don't ask, the answer is always no. And it's amazing by asking people for just even 15 minutes or half an hour, just to meet and get to know each other, people will say yes. And it's amazing how that can open the door to not only expanding your relationships, but expanding your career. So.
Nice. That's great. Thank you for sharing that. I love that. So let me ask you guys, and Tia, let me start with you here a little bit. You know, I ping you. I say, Tia, I'm doing a podcast for National Women's Day. Will you join? One, do you hate me? And two, you said yes, so you might not hate me. Maybe can you tell us a little bit, what does this day, this month, this kind of opportunity signify for you? What does this really mean? And it doesn't have to be a positive thing if it's not.
I mean, it's a little bit of both, right? Positive that we're doing it, a bit negative for me that we need to do it, because why, you know? For me, I embody what this day means when we're jumping up and down and, you know, changing LinkedIn banners and things about it. That one day, I do it every single day. Like every day is International Women's Day for me. And so while I'm glad it's got this visibility today, like I don't want to fist bump and, you know, chest pound and walk away and think about something else tomorrow. You know, this is a mentality that needs to be carried throughout, you know, inspiring and empowering women. I mean, as a woman that did not feel like I had a voice when I came into this industry, partially because of the industry, partially because of my background and the way that I grew up, finding my voice and finding my way and becoming the force that you describe me as, there's just nothing that compares to that. And the reason that I just continue to push and charge is because the more I do, the more I can turn around and help other women do. You know, the more I say no, but you can, because I did it, you know, I think the more relatable and impactful I become. And that's what's important to me, not just being this force and, you know, having an amazing career and doing all these things. It's being able to lift as I climb. And that is 365 days a year for me. It never, ever shuts off. It never can, because there's just so much work to be done in general.
I lift as I climb.
Yeah.
I love that. That's very well said. And you're right. Like it felt, I said that stat at the beginning around this day was founded in 1911, and I was shocked, and it kind of made me be like, and I know we talk about it all the time, and I'm coming at it from a particular viewpoint of like, so what have we been doing? Because it's been so hard, and there's been so many incredible advocates that have lifted as they've climbed over, you know, an immense amount of time, over 100 years. And it's just, it doesn't change the fact that day in and day out, there are people that are going to continue to struggle and feel like they are on their own in this, and maybe are not asking for help in this fight. And in having their voice be heard and having their purpose be recognized. But I appreciate you still, you know, continuing to showcase, because again, this is about giving very tangible example, and also shedding a bit of light on how you're both continuing to inspire inclusion and to inspire your various communities. And so, Andrea, you mentioned I Will. I'd love for you to give a little bit of background on that and tell us, one, where did this come from? Where did this idea come from? And give us the summary. What is I Will?
It's really all about a community for women to help each other, support each other to rise and succeed. And inspiring women, igniting leadership and learning. That's what it stands for. My daughter helped me name that. So I'm like, what should we name this? What can I, like, I always wanted I Will, because, you know, it's always like, yes, we can do this, and I will do this. I will do that, right? Like when you set your goals. But how it all started, I'm one of those commuters. I go back and forth every week between Minnesota and New York. And when I was in New York, did not know many people, and wanted to join a women's network. And there are amazing women's networks out there. Some I found come with a pretty hefty price tag to join. Others, they're pretty siloed, you know, either in women in legal tech, women in fintech, women at this level. One of my dreams has always been to just create a community for women, not necessarily aligned with a certain industry or a certain role. We all have similar challenges, regardless of role, regardless of industry. And so when I first started traveling back and forth, I started meeting just some amazing women that were not in technology at all. Some were fashion designers, some were photographers, some were, you name it. There was every demographic out there. And so when I said, okay, I'm going to take a leap, I'm going to start this thing called I will you come? If I set up the first meeting, will you come? And so it's really how it started. And I'll fast forward to where we are today. We're a community of around 1,000 people across the world. And we do networking events that we bring speakers on that talk about just anything that is applicable to all of us. You know, what is your personal brand? What's your professional brand? How do they come together? How do you even build a brand? Tia, you talked about raising your voice. How do we help others raise their voice? How do we help others, like, give them the courage to raise their voice? So those are things that we talk about. We also provide funding. It's free to join, I will, but anytime we have an event, we charge a small fee, like $20 to join the event. So all of those dollars that come in, we donate to nonprofit organizations that help women. And this year, our focus is on helping victims of human trafficking. And we recently had an I Will Summit about a month ago. It was our first all-day I Will Summit. And the Covenant House came, and we had one of the individuals that has gone through human trafficking. She's 19. She was so brave. She talked about just what she went through, what the Covenant House has done for her. And she left. I mean, how she ended her talk. She said, you know what? I'm going to get my GED. I'm going to ensure I do not have a life like I've had the last 20 years or 19 years. I will find a job. I will have a career. I will do better for myself. And I mean, she left that whole room was like in tears. That's the backbone of I Will, is like, how can we wrap our arms around people like that and help them move, just help them. And then the last piece I'll mention about I Will, we've had now 5 pitch competitions at that I Will Summit I mentioned. We did a live pitch competition where we had 3 women come up on stage and talk about their business ideas. And the whole audience voted on who should get the grant funding. And we provided grant funding to the lucky pitch competition winner to help her just start her business. That's I Will. And it is about moving, you know, there's a saying by Margaret Mead, it's a pretty lengthy saying, but the last part is, it just takes a small group of individuals to create change. Well, why can't we be that change? Why can't we move this world forward and be better? We need to be better. So that's what I Will is.
Sure. Well, I love, you know, one, you had this vision, you had an idea, you wanted to connect with people, and you found a way that makes it almost digestible, if you will. Like, sometimes when you want to make that change, you're like, well, is it going to be big enough? Is it going to impact enough people? Is it going to be too expensive? Is it going to be all these things? And you talk yourself out of it instead of just starting and just get moving. Just got to start. And that's incredible. And to hear that story, you know, come back on I Will.
Great point, Erin, because I think a lot of people, if they don't start or if they pause, maybe they're thinking, well, it's not going to impact a lot of people. And believe me, I've thought about that many times, if I will, about pausing, because it takes some work to put this stuff on. And so I'm like, and it's, you know, but, you know, what I realize is, and somebody mentioned this to me, it's, if you can make a change for one person, that one person, you know, it's like paying it forward, and you just have to take baby steps. So even if you're impacting one person, that's so much better.
Isn't right? that enough? Yeah. Yeah. Oh man. Tia, I think you've been to an I Will event. If you have, I'm pretty sure you have. But I know you also have spearheaded an organization, a collective organization, the Black Women in Cyber Collective. And so can you tell us a little bit, how did this, I can take some guesses of how this incredible group came together with your spearheading, but let me know, give us the story and some of the initiatives.
So I can't take credit for it. Actually, I was invited to join this initiative by someone that I met through my nonprofit work. So as you know, I founded Empower Cybersecurity in 2020. And Talia Parker, who is the visionary behind the collective, is also the founder of Black Girls in Cyber. And so we just met, you know, through our nonprofit work, and she just had a vision to get a group of Black women together in cybersecurity to tell their stories and write a book about it. Just meant to, I mean, the way she describes it is she just wanted to give a hug to the industry, and not necessarily to just Black women or just women, but really to anyone that has felt marginalized in this space. And so, you know, I didn't even ask any questions, and I'm a question machine. I ask all the questions, but when she told me,
relentless curiosity.
Told me what she wanted to do, I was just like, yes, yes, 1,000 times yes. And so 16 Black women got together and told their stories. I mean, very transparent and vulnerable about their journeys and, you know, the things that we've had to overcome and challenges we've encountered and how we dealt with those, and just playbooks, right, for navigating these waters. And it is just incredible. And it was mind blowing for me. I mean, the book did a couple of things for me. And the collective was a question, but the collective was formed as a result of that. And so it is right now the collection of women that wrote this book, and we're leveraging our experiences, backgrounds, and expertise, not only to empower women, but to also move this industry forward. But when we got together, one, to do the photo shoot for the book, and I was in that room, because it's one thing to be who you are and see other people doing similar things on LinkedIn, but when all of that was in a room, I was like, I'm not an alien. This is crazy. So that was a huge moment for me. But also, when I wrote my chapter, it wasn't until I had to proofread the thing that I was like, whoa, I've kind of been through some things, and I've kind of done a few things in my career, because I'm just, you know, that athlete mentality, you know, next challenge, crush that. What's next? Working out, getting better, ready for the next thing. When I had to go back and look over my entire journey, where I came from to where I am and some of the crap I had to deal with, I was like, wow. And so, you know, for readers to get all of this in this book, like here, number one, it's okay. You're enough. You're not the only one going through this. It's incredible, because I know that there will be someone in that book that readers can relate to, that will empower them and encourage them to not give up. Because I almost gave up or paused Empower Cybersecurity, because it is a lot of work. And when I started it, I said, well, if I could just touch one life or maybe five lives, I'll be good. And before I knew it, we had 300 members, and I was overwhelmed, and my career was doing all the things. And I was like, whoa. And just as I thought about kind of pausing it, or maybe, you know, getting someone else to take it on, I started getting this feedback about how lives have been changed. And then I'm just energized. Okay, well, this is why I do it. So we, you know, we got to keep going. But, you know, the collective embodies a lot of that. And it's just awesome bringing all of that force and driving power together to move this industry forward and be representatives of what's possible.
I love that. So definitely we're going to check out this book. And if I think it's also a good opportunity for people to learn and just understand what others have gone through, understand the journeys that they've taken and what not to do in certain leadership situations as well. So this isn't just for a young aspiring professional. This could be for absolutely anybody that's really looking to be part of that change. So that's pretty cool. Thank you. Let's do a couple of one-hit questions. So we're going to go back and forth. We're going to ask each of you a thing, a one hit, and we'll go back and forth between you. So Tia, I'm going to start with you. Can you give us one person that changed your trajectory?
It's got to be my mom. You know, it starts at home. If she hadn't raised me to be a strong woman that doesn't take no for an answer, I don't know where I'd be in my career, especially compared to the women that are raised to keep your head down and be quiet and don't make too much noise. I'm just glad that she raised me differently.
Andrea, one person that changed your trajectory.
I would say a woman by the name of Louise Griffith. She helped me change the narrative in my head. And, you know, we have all the like negative self-talk, like this little, I don't know what you want to call it, devil, angel devil, but the devil is like the naysayer. And like, really, can I do that? So she was so pivotal for me about changing that narrative, that or that self-talk in my head. And knowing that I'm worth it.
I love that. So I got to be part of an incredible organization. It's almost 10 years ago now, called the Judy Project. And it was at the time a group of 40 women across Canada that had been designated as CEO potentials. And so they came together under Rotman University out of Toronto. And it was like this offsite for a week. And in the beginning, you know, you introduce yourself, you do all the get to know you things. But again, it's this like aspiring women's leadership group. And one of the clear things that came out of the first day was how much negative self-talk there was and how much everyone in that room was trying to like overcome that and just deal with it and continue to kind of like propel themselves forward. And so to hear you kind of one, have somebody that helped that out of you, that's a great, and I'm sure it's not out of you entirely. I'm sure it creeps back in every once in a while.
Yeah. That imposter syndrome, right? Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's not a gender specific thing, but I think that it's something that as women, we talk a lot more about. And that in and of itself could be perceived as weakness because it's openness to talking about that negative self-talk versus pretending, oh, I don't have that shit going on in my head. I never have that. What are you talking about? I'm too big for that. I'm too, and that's not even maybe masculine. That's just the antithesis. Yeah. I just think it's good that you had somebody that could walk you through and help you flip the narrative. And I want somebody listening to this to know that even these two incredible women that have their shit together are continuing to have that and fight that on a pretty regular basis. All right. The next one, one moment that defines you or describes you. I told Tia, this is like her TSN turning point. So Tia, one moment for you.
Yeah, you know, I think that the moment for me is when I found my voice, realized I had a voice that people wanted to hear, that changed my life. Because, you know, the way I came up, I just shut myself off from a lot of things, just dealing with discrimination, microaggression, things like that. So I'm like, I'm just going to put my head down, not deal with people and do what I got to do. And so when you put yourself in that space, you're not used to people coming to you for anything. So I had to go through a bit of a transition, because when you're used to being closed off, when people start to talk to you and ask you for your opinion, your first response is, what the hell are you talking to me for? What do you want with me? Right. So I had to get over that and realize that it was irresponsible of me to not be more open, because the people that needed me now aren't the people that hurt me then. And so once I got over that and I opened myself up a bit and I realized how just telling my story was helpful or sharing my ideas was creating change, I was like, wow, there's something to this. And then it's like next level when you make a recommendation or have an idea and see it brought to life and see support behind it and see people leaning in and wanting to learn more. that just, it changed me. And so it became this responsibility, you know, I just have to, you know, own my craft and do the research and know what I'm talking about and continue to have that voice and be a thought leader and give back. But I mean, I think if I had just stayed in this dark place of the world's just not ready for me, I wouldn't be where I am today.
Andrea, what do you think? One moment or, it's one moment that defines or describes you.
So there's been a couple that come to mind from a professional standpoint, but I'll talk about one that really like defines me as a person. I was lucky enough to join some other amazing women CIOs from around the country on a women's empowerment mission trip. It was about a month ago. We went to Nicaragua. And the whole idea about that trip was to meet women from Nicaragua who have started businesses and, you know, could we give them ideas on how they could scale or if there was technology in the community, not all communities have technology, but if there was, you know, ideas on what they could use. But I will tell you more than anything, oh my gosh, these women embody what it means to be an inspiration. And these women, meaning these women from Nicaragua who have nothing. I mean, there's a community of 6,000 people who get water 1 hour every other day, but you know what? They make it work. And these women do whatever it takes to create opportunities, to build a business, be it they're going to sell vegetables on the side of the street or start making shoes or baking bread and bringing money into their whole community from that. I realized that was a life-changing trip for me, but I realized for me, it's like that's what it's about is there is a whole world that we can help change and we can help inspire. And so I just want to do more of that and figure out how can I be a part of that every single day of my life. So that's probably the most impactful moment to me.
I like that they're both kind of connected. So like Tia, from you being like, I have to come out of this place in order to be open and your true self and give back, and how much energy you get from that. And that's exactly where you're at, Andrea. That's pretty cool to see. I like that. One book that matters to you.
Well, I guess I'll be self-serving here because I don't think I actually said the title when I was talking about the book.
Say the title.
So Securing Our Future, Celebrating the Resilience and Brilliance of Black Women in Cyber.
I
just think it's an incredible.
It's so great.
Yeah.
Andrea, you know, one book for you.
My favorite book, it's a business book, but I think you can take a lot of it and apply it to not only within business, but also in your personal life, is Jim Collins' book, Good to Great. And it's picking that big, hairy, audacious goal and how are, you know, just breaking it off in bite-sized chunks and how are you going to get there. But then also getting the right people on the bus. And I think of that not only with, you know, your teams who you work with and for and serve within your professional career, but also within your personal life. So
one podcast or blog that you recommend?
Oh, Cyber Talks, hands down. That's my go-to.
There's no other answer. Andrew, you don't even get to go. Just listen to Cyber Talks.
I love to be listening to that.
All the time. Okay. No, seriously, you don't get to go. That's great. Perfect. Good one. Next. Andrew's covered this a little bit. In terms of younger self, but let's do it. So Tia, something you would tell your younger self?
Just be unapologetically you. I think when we are coming into who we are, we spend too much time trying to be who we think others want us to be. Yeah. So the message for my younger self would be not just you're enough, you're more than enough, and stand in that power and be great.
I love that, Tia. And how we can like encourage people to believe that and think that every day is so important. Mine is really similar. It took me a while to understand that I'm worth it. And so I always say, know your worth because you're worth it. And everything from how do you negotiate salary to how do you negotiate what kind of life do you want, right? You're the CEO of your life. So what do you want it to look like? But really knowing that you are worth it.
So one of the things that we've talked a lot about is supporting each other as women, but this is not just about women supporting other women. How can we encourage other allies to engage, whether that's men in your family, other peers, colleagues? What would you say is important? Tia, let's start with you in terms of encouraging allyship and support every day for women today.
I mean, I think to truly be an ally or a supporter, you have to understand the struggle. So I do think a good starting point is to engage, you know, with women in your life or not in your life and understand some of the challenges and then see where you might be able to lean in and help or provide support. You know, you don't want to just kind of jump in and say, I'm here, here's what you need to do. You know, you want to make sure like it matters and it's impactful and it's relevant. So I would say start at stage zero and really understand the struggle and what the needs are.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I would say get involved. Attend, like if there is a women's networking event, join it. And I mean, that is a way for you to start to understand. But get involved, ask questions. And if that's scary, meet with, you know, one woman that you can set aside time with to start, just like Tia said, to start to understand.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I think we've focused a lot of our conversation on, you know, professional element and professional workplace today. There's certainly been so much momentum around the Girl Dad kind of campaign and whether I want to associate that back to Kobe Bryant and, you know, just his incredible relationship with his daughters that got a lot of media and social attention. But I've seen that continue. And I think in the years since, there's been such momentum in dads in corporate environments joining kind of the Women's Day sessions and podcasts and learnings just to be able to take that home. And I think that that's incredibly valuable because the more that we can change the thinking of young women to exactly all of those things that you're describing so far, you know, the negative self-talk, the belief in being enough, the belief in being worth it, the more we can inspire that early on and have, you know, figures and allies in our lives do that, then the better. So we'll keep that going for sure. As we wrap, let me ask both of you, if, you know, our listeners want to learn more, to connect with you or to connect with your organizations, where can they do that?
So for me, just connect with me on LinkedIn. We do have an I Will page on LinkedIn and just ask to be a member. And that is really it. Or just private message me on LinkedIn and would love to get you involved.
Same here, both myself, my organization, mostly on LinkedIn. So Tia Hopkins on LinkedIn, Black Women in Cyber Collective, Empower Cybersecurity are all on LinkedIn and all have websites. But my personal website is TiaHopkins.com.
One of the things that I want to make sure that we do is give people a tangible thing to take away. Because again, you talk about like, how do we carry this forward? How do we carry forward International Women's Day? This year is all around inspiring inclusion as a theme, which, you know, frankly, I don't think we need a title of Women's Day to encourage that and to follow that belief. But can you give us a so what? What can you do tomorrow or frankly, before the end of today to action and feel like you're taking part and taking the right step forward to inspire inclusion, to celebrate women's voices, to lift each other up? What's something that would be actionable in your opinion, Tia?
I'm,
Other than going and buying the book from the collective. There's one. Shameless plug, sorry.
I'm going to steal from the New York subway system and say, if you see something, say something. And not, you know, I think we do, as allies, I think, want to stand up for women that we think are being wrong. Like if you see a woman's idea is getting ripped off or she's not being listened to at a meeting or something like that. But I think my preference, that's important. But I think all of us have women in our lives that aren't speaking up that should be speaking up. And sometimes all women need is for someone to tell them, no, you've got a great idea. No, you're thinking about that the right way. Or no, you should say that. So I would say encourage the woman or women in your life that aren't speaking up, that should be speaking up, to speak up. Help them find their voice.
Andrew, anything you would add?
I would say start, I would say baby steps, right? If you don't feel comfortable getting out and starting a new relationship, or, you know, maybe there's somebody you want to meet with, but you're a little nervous about it, or you're extremely introverted, take baby steps and start small. You know, say, I'm going to do one meeting, you know, this month, and then start to ratchet that up. So it becomes almost like a habit. But in relation to International Women's Month, and I so agree, it just shouldn't be a month. Every day is should be dedicated to it. I'd say, like, take that same approach and think about all of the amazing women in your life and start baby steps. And today, tell one of them they're incredible and ask them how you can help them. Next week, start with two. The week after, start with three. And I think it's just we have a responsibility and we need to gotta hold ourselves accountable to help lift others up. And so start small, and just a lot of women don't think they're incredible, but they are. And just tell them it's small and simple.
The one meeting this month, maybe one a week, the following month, the baby steps. I love that. And I can attest to that as an introvert. I thought I just chose the whole wrong career because I was not with talking to people or any of the things that just come so naturally to me today. And it did start with me just doing something that scared the hell out of me every single day. And just those small changes over time have just had such a huge impact. So you just have to, you got to start. So I agree with that 100%.
Well, I think I tell our team at Eastentire all the time that it is a really brave thing to post on social media, to share a perspective and put your own opinion out there for public consumption. And so, you know, as the marketing person, you start to be like, well, here's some recommended copy. Here's what you could say. Let's put our words in your mouth. And yeah, those are the natural steps you take. But eventually when you see someone starting to share of their own volition, that's brave. And that takes real courage. And so not only have you both done that today and shared with us, so I thank you, but I hope that somebody listening takes that step and shares their perspective after hearing you both, because that would be my action, is to just trust that someone is going to want to hear what you have to say, or is going to want to read your perspective, because I promise you they do. And just as you've heard from Tia and Andrea, like, it can change someone's day, it could change someone's opinion, and it could set you on a pretty incredible path. So thank you both for sharing.
Thanks very much.
Thank you for joining us for Cyber Talks today. We'll see you next time. To learn how Eastentire can help your team reduce your cyber risk and build a more resilient security operation, visit eastentire.com.